Well, it is Sunday once again, and I hear this from my wife quite often now during annual enrollment, that where did the week go? You're right. And you know what? Time doesn't stop for us. I see what's happening in the world right now, especially in Israel, in the Middle East. And we've had this conversation and people are all, and I say, you know what? I'm excited because I want to see what happens next. Because, you know, I have faith and I have security. And Jesus said, in the world there's going to be trouble, but never fear. I have overcome the world. There are only two religions on the earth. You want to take a stab at what they are?
Believing in Christ and not believing in Christ.
There's either good or there's evil. That's the two religions on the earth. And I've kind of coined a thing with good. If you take an O out, you've got God. With evil, if you add a D, you've got the devil. And they kind of are appropriate when you think about it that way. And I don't try to talk to people in any different fashion other than it's either good or evil. You're either going to follow one or the other. Because what did Jesus say? He said, you're either for me, good, or you're against me. Only two choices. So when we go into what Paul's talking about today, it's all about good and evil. Everything we see in Scripture is about good and evil. I love what you said today, because we can be overwhelmed, and I'll get into it a little later, with stuff and daily activities. And we need to refocus sometimes, all the time, probably. I titled today, Losing Everything Makes Me Happy? ? Philippians 3:1, further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. First thing, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Paul shows his concern by repeating his message over and over and over. People back then were thick-headed just like we are. They needed to hear it over and over and over. In 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, so I will always remind you of these things. Even though you know them and you're firmly established in the truth you now have, I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will be able to always remember these things. What are these things that Paul refers to? It's the basic message of salvation in the death and resurrection of Jesus, and Jesus alone. Isn't it interesting how each one of the disciples, when they taught about Jesus, it always boiled down to there is only one. It's about Jesus and Jesus alone. It isn't about anything else. And it's not about, and I look at that and say, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when Jesus talks about that, he said, we created the earth and the heavens and the people and animals and everything else. We did. Jesus, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, they were all there. And when they created it, they were in it. They were part of it. And we are part of that same creation. So what God created as good, Satan tried to turn it to evil. There's only two, good and evil. That's it. Get that straight, because Paul hammers on it today. So what are these things? the basic message of salvation in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Nothing we can do will give us that salvation. Nothing who I can do. Nothing you can do. We cannot attain that salvation on our own. It's not possible. The safeguard that Paul refers to is essential. We cannot be led astray from the fact that we are powerless without Jesus Christ. What's happening with me right now in my eye? I've been healthy my whole life. I've had stupid stuff happen, but cut fingers and, you know, things like that. But you know what? This one helps me really understand that this is precious. And God's in control. Have I given it to Him? Oh, you bet, I've been trying. Am I concerned? Yep. Am I worried? No. Am I worried, honey? No. I'm not worried, because what happens, happens. It's in God's control. Paul says that. You can't do this on your own. Get that straight. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for it is by grace you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Philippians 3, 2 through 6. Watch out for these dogs, those evildoers, those mutilators of the flesh, for it is we who are the circumcision, we who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness based on the law, faultless. Wow, he was top dog, wasn't he? He could honestly say, you can look to me to live that law-abiding life. Could you? Do you think Paul believes that everything he did was good? Do you think Paul could actually look at his prior life and say, it was really good? I know. When he was struck and knocked off that horse, he knew. He knew he was headed in the wrong direction. What was the Jewish circumcision? We all know what circumcision is, and that was part of what God had as a plan for the Jewish people. Was it a form of salvation? Think about that for a second. Anybody want to make a stab? Was circumcision salvation for the Jews?
Sign of being set apart.
Exactly. They were set apart by that circumcision. Nobody else on the earth had done that to that point. Remember that. This was special just for the Jewish population. It was an unconditional devotion to God. It was a reminder. Verse 3 states that we are the circumcision. We are the circumcision who serve God by His Spirit, who boast in Christ Jesus, not circumcision, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Note the terms that Paul uses when warning who to beware of and watch out for. Dogs. Now, in essence, I've got two. And they're really great. I love those little bugs. But he calls these people that we've got to watch out for dogs, evildoers, mutilators of the flesh. I don't know if you're familiar with the Middle East, but for somebody to be called dog in the Middle East is about as low as it can get. You want to cut somebody to the bone? You call them a dog. It's bad. It's one of the worst things you can call a human being back then. Dogs, evildoers, mutilators of the flesh. These are all description of people that try to persuade you that you are responsible for your salvation. In other words, get circumcised. No, that's not going to do it. Just like we saw earlier, circumcision was not salvation. So what did they have to do? Well, it says evildoers, mutilators of the flesh, and dogs. They try to take you away from the fact that Jesus paid it all. It's only in Him and Him alone. It's nothing else that you can do. Nothing a government can do. Nothing a religion can do. It's between you and Jesus. These are all the description of people that try to persuade you that you are responsible for your salvation. They believe that strict adherence to the law of Moses is your pathway to God's grace. That is a total lie. We have no confidence in our own goodness or actions in regard to salvation. No, put yourself in the position of the Jews. I thought about this long and hard. From the beginning, they lived under the law. God gave them the law and they lived under that law. But once Jesus arrived and offered a new and better way, adherence to the law was fulfilled in and through faith in His death and resurrection. So He set it all on upside down. He turned it all over. Now you've been believing this way for how many hundreds of years? It's your faith. It's your religion. Now it's all turned upside down. And you're being told that things are going to change for the better. That is like asking a person to completely deviate from their way of life after hundreds of years. What makes this new way so much better? Understanding and knowing God's word makes all the difference. People should have known even then, especially then, about the prophecies of Jesus, the Savior, from their own study and knowledge. What about us? We have God's word. How much knowledge and understanding of that word do we have? I can't emphasize enough, be in it a lot. Know it, read it, memorize it, study it, share it, do whatever. That's the word of God. That's Jesus' words. Learn it. People haven't changed much from then to now, have they? We haven't changed. We've got the word, and He says this is what you need to do in order to be successful. And I don't mean successful in life as money and everything else, but successful as a believer, a follower of God, a follower of Jesus. This is what you need to do. We are guilty of living our own lives rather than taking instruction from God. I got a great life. Why do I need to every day turn it over to God? I'm doing fine. Who's responsible for my life? God. God. Thank God for grace. Of all people, Paul was the one person that could try to claim confidence in the flesh. After all, he did way more than most anyone else to earn his salvation, at least he thought. Circumcised according to Jewish law, from the tribe of Benjamin, a tribe with superior military ability. The term Hebrew means the one who is opposed, on the other side, and different from all the others. Abraham, he was one of the earliest references as a Hebrew. He was a solitary believer among a group of idol worshipers. He was set aside, set apart, and that's what that term means. A Pharisee was a person who was separated from society to study and teach the law. In other words, that's what they did. Pharisees were set aside. The Pharisees were pharisaical, that's where that term comes from, and they taught the law. Because they studied it. Was it that important? Oh, you bet. That's what God gave them to live by. He hadn't given them Jesus Christ yet, but He'd give them the scripture He would give them that scripture that says this is what's going to happen. They should know that. Paul was a zealous defender of the law. He even says so. He says, you couldn't find any fault with me when it came to the law. Philippians 3, 7 through 11. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them garbage that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection that's to come and participation in his sufferings, living life. We participate in the sufferings of Christ because we live in a sinful world. Yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Becoming like him in his death. I find that really interesting. Because is Paul saying that he wants to be crucified up on the cross like Christ died? That's not what he's saying. He wants his life to be totally given. Just like Jesus when he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Father, I don't want to go through this. Was he human? You bet. I don't want to go through this, Father. Take this cup from me. I don't want to do it. But then he says, but it's not what I want. It's what you want. And I am bound to determine that I am going to do what you want. Otherwise, we wouldn't have salvation today. So when he talks about that and zealous for the law, wow, that's what Paul was. And he talks about attaining to the resurrection from the dead. That's our heavenward bound life. That's where we're going. Does anybody here want to claim that you are a citizen of earth? If you're a believer, you shouldn't, because we're not citizens of earth. We are just passers-by. What's the song? This is not my home. I'm just passing through. Paul can truly say that he lost everything to follow Christ. His life as King Saul, if you remember, before Jesus' intervention, was one of power, prestige, and wealth. Did he have what everybody is searching for? Power, prestige, and wealth. He said, I have lost it all to follow Christ. Sets us back a little bit when we think about ourselves. But now a totally transformed Paul has abandoned all of that. In fact, he considers all of that fit only for the garbage pile. Every Jewish town had a garbage dump outside the gates of the city, and everything went into that garbage dump. And I use the term here we put things in the trash when they have become worthless. Is Paul saying that he has become worthless? Do I need to admit that I am worthless when I stand before God? I do, until I know Jesus Christ. Once I know Jesus and he moves in, my worth just magnifies just amazingly, because God now wants me as his child through Jesus. But without it, no. We're sinners. God can't look on sin. In essence, Paul stands before God in Jesus, totally stripped of everything because he realized the futility of earthly pleasures and rewards. He reiterates that well in the following scripture. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Not that I have already attained all of this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. So where do we go from here? Paul's given some pretty interesting instructions. Of all people to be able to write in the Bible, God picked the right. God never makes mistakes. Paul's he's the dude. He's the guy. Because he has had everything. He's given it all up and gained everything by doing it. Who better to tell that story to people? Can we say that? Paul leaves us these instructions, which will lead us to that same attitude and final destination. Philippians 3, 15 through 21. All of us then, and he didn't disclude anybody, but he said, all of us then who are mature should take such a view of things. Now, what's maturity? What does the word mature there talk about? You look that up in the original writings, and maturity there means understanding. I've got understanding of what this is all about. That makes me more mature than a person that doesn't have understanding. So the knowledge of what God did through Jesus, Paul's saying, those of you that know that, you are mature in your life to know that God reached down to you through the person of Jesus Christ, and you already know that. You believe it. Way back when I read that out of Peter, he said, so I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in them. So he's been teaching them. They know it. They're established in it. Now what does he say? Those of you who know this and are mature, that's the key. Those of you who are mature should take such a view of these things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Because he knows if you're mature, you're willing to let God lead your mind and your thoughts. And you're going to trust that what he leads you to is going to be correct. So he's saying, don't worry about the stuff that you don't agree on. God will show you what he wants. God will open that up. He wrote the Bible, for goodness sake. He's certainly able to lead you with his son, Jesus Christ, living in your life. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. Join together in following my example, brothers and sisters, and just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For, as I have often told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, especially with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny? Evil? Destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. We do eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. When I think about people back then, it's hard to know because I'd love to travel in time and go back to that. That would be so cool, as long as I could come back. But you know, I think about that and walking those streets with people that sat and listened to Jesus and then heard his story about salvation and then watched it happen when he went to the cross and died. But then 3 days later, he rose from the dead. No God of any religion has ever done that except for Christianity. That's why there are only two religions, evil and good. When I think about those people back then living the life that they lived for so many years, generation after generation after generation, watching God do what he did, the pillar of fire, the cloud, the opening of the dead, I mean, the whole works. How could you not believe? Well, you know what? We have God's word right in front of us, and there's things that we just ignore. How could we not believe? In reality, we have to just buckle down and ask God, Jesus, show me exactly what you want me to see in your word, but then be in it so that he can. Some points to regard. Let the Spirit of Jesus guide in all matters. Are there any matters that you can think of that maybe we shouldn't take to God? Let Jesus guide us. Are there any? I have never thought of one, and I have never heard a good one said, so I don't think there are. Become one body. He keeps talking about these people, and they say, those of us who are mature. Well, he's not including the world. He's including the body of believers. And in that body of believers, we have to become one body, one heart, one love, Jesus Christ. Love each other as ourselves. Do whatever to be like Jesus. We have to become one body. And that's not just this group, but it's every believer on the face of the earth. I love it when Tucker mentioned what he did about Jamaica, Mon. And just, they're believers. Isn't that great? It's the same Jesus. He infects the lives of everybody if you just believe. Choose the proper examples or models of people that meet the requirements that Paul talked about to follow. You have friends in your circle that you kind of, I sure wish I could be like that. Well, are they like Jesus? If they're not, keep them as a friend and reach out to them with the love of Jesus. But don't model your life after that. Oh, man, they've got a boat. They've got an airplane. They've got a pool. They've got this and they've got that. And man, oh. So we work our whole life, spend how many ever hours a day trying to attain stuff. And what does Jesus always remind us of? That when we stand before him, am I going to say, well, did you see my car? Did you see my house? Paul had all that. Paul said, I gave it up all and gained so much more. I gained so much more. Why do we need to set those examples up in our life? It all boils down to the destruction and shame, hell, or eternal life and joy. You want true joy? try giving up some of your stuff. I think it's amazing. Didn't we just read something about that in Our Daily Bread or something, where people had just everything and they don't find happiness? The world's a mess because they thought that was the message that was being told. You have this stuff and you're going to be happy. After interviewing a whole bunch of these people, they didn't find happiness. They found out they had a whole lot of trouble because everything breaks. You know, even relationships, everything breaks. So the more you have, the more grief you're going to be consumed by. I mean, it's just the truth. It's a fact. Don't set your mind on earthly, and I called it garbage, because what Paul called it, the dump heap of garbage and trash, that's where they put things that were worthless. Let's consider, even if we have to live, we have to buy food, we have to, you know, we have to live a life. But do we put that our first priority, or do we put letting people know Jesus our first priority? Don't set your mind on earthly garbage. This and only this will produce the transformation from earthly alien status to heavenly citizenship with God. I'm a citizen of heaven. And believe it or not, someday I'll probably die if Jesus doesn't come back. And when that happens, my citizenship is confirmed. I don't have to even do any paperwork. Isn't that great? Father, you have given us so much encouragement. Your apostle, through Paul, has given us so many words from you that are so, so prevalent in our life. At least they should be. Help us to just consume your words. Help us to understand it through your Spirit. And as we do, help us to shine in a world that is just going all the wrong direction, which you said was going to happen. It's been happening from the beginning. But we can be a light to them as hope in you. Help us to just serve you well with that message. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.